WCNO. Listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Turned out to be a bogus. Geraldo Rivera did a case on this to where the dog was found out to be a fraudulent dog owner.
So these guys, what, did they want a promotion? Why would these cops lie like this?
You got a beach. You got a beach. You got a murder. You got the... Think about the beach. Think about the people's sophistication.
There's just two kids there sitting there smoking marijuana.
That's exactly. And you know what?
How could they dare do that?
There was a...
Have you met the guy since?
The reason. Who's who?
The cops.
The cops are all... Everybody's having a horrible life now, right?
Even the cops?
The guy that... Well, the lead homicide investigator had sex and was buying alcohol and drugs and giving it to the star witness. This is proven facts that because we didn't have great representation, the jury only got to have.
Just a couple of guys that show up 3 days later. Why? They thought he came back to see the spot or something? Or?
That's why you come back with frame. We had a hurricane that come through that erased the majority of the evidence of this scene that just happened just before that case or just before the murder. Just after the murder. So there was a delay in processing this scene. Okay, so I'm telling you, this witness is crazy. The witness is saying there was a gentleman that was known, and you'll see in the book, was half blind, was driving at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, looking for an experience, picked up a hitchhiker, performed oral sex on this guy as he drove him to Cocoa Beach. Okay, you just got done murdering somebody, right? Do you go to the fact that, oh, I think I'll hitchhike and let some guy that's giving me a ride perform oral sex on me, but...
And this witness said it was your brother?
Identified it, but he was half blind and couldn't see. And that there was a T-shirt that was left in his van that night that the gentleman had thrown away the next day, but then went and trashed and got it. T-shirt didn't even fit my brother. You think about something that doesn't fit.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to reference OJ. But
yeah, because he was guilty.
He was. I think so too. But and all this evidence got thrown away and set aside. And then I kid you not, 23 years later, as my brother's fighting for his life, the judge was rotating out. They found this shirt in the back of the locker of the evidence locker. And it had just enough DNA evidence. My brother was on his final hours of his appeal, where at once he was found not to have it, he wouldn't have been able to have his appeal, final hours, and was found, and the DNA proved it was other people other than my brother.
Oh, my word. You must be kidding me.
Exonerated, you know. It was a tough road. I mean, I look up to my brother.
He spent 27 years incarcerated in prison.
In the worst prisons in his life, had his legs broken and was totally destroyed probably within hours once he got put up into the prisons. They're not an easy world, you know. And if people don't believe that you can't be that person, Red, I'm sitting on the other side. What if that was me that they put all this evidence and this?
I think I might go up to one of the criminals and say, hey, would you kill me? I don't want to be here.
My brother said he passed through suicide so many times, but it was the Lord.
He did what through suicide?
He thought about suicide. He thought about escape. He thought about ending his life. He didn't want to be there. But see, but think
years.
About it, Rhett. Not only do you affect him, you affect the whole family. This is when I saw the hurt that was going on my mom and dad, and I said, I got to get out of here. And I went up to the recruiting office. This is where we used to go to Shopping Plaza, Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines. Which one you want to go to? I went to each one of them. I said, which one of you can get me out of here the fastest? Navy said, we could get you out of here in 2 weeks.
Hey, do you think if we called your brother on my cell phone, he would pick up?
He might be able to do that, right?
Do you have the number handy?
I do.
All right. You want me to call him on my phone or yours?
You
have an iPhone?
I do.
I would need to be put on speakerphone.
That'll be fine. Okay. I'll do that. Let me see if he's available to chit-chat
with him.
Let's try
this frame.
That sounds good.
And we can do both of these.
That'll be great.
Yeah. And his name is William Michael Dillon.
Correct. He might be sleeping. He's going through some heart stuff right now.
What time of day is it here? Okay.
It's in California right now. It's 7, 8 o'clock. Hey, Bill, how are you doing?
All right, how's it going, buddy?
It's doing good. Hey, Bill, I got a gentleman here that wants to speak to you a second.
Hi, Bill. We want to let you know my name is Rhett Palmer, And I became a Christian at the age of 29. I'm on a Christian station, WCNO, 89.9 FM here. And we're talking about, well, you had your brother come in here, our friend Doolin Dalton, who brought your brother's business when he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, you know, and miraculously got healed. And then he brought in your book today, Framed. And we were just talking. I thought to myself, well, why not call you and say hello to you? And I just want to make sure we have your permission to talk to you.
Sure.
Okay. So, and sometime I hope we get to meet. I understand that you spend your winters in the Atlantic?
Yes.
Good, good. Now, my grandmother used to live in Oceanside, so I can relate to the beautiful Santa Ana winds you're probably enjoying today. But we wanted to talk about Framed, and I keep saying, you know, here you spent 27 years in prison. Of course, my take on that is that, well, that's a horrible thing, and I certainly would not want to be flip about it, but I also think that if that's what it took to bring you into eternal salvation with Jesus Christ, someday, you know, 27 years won't seem like much on the other side of eternity. How do you feel about what I just said?
I've always seen the journey that way, that it took a lot. I was a very stubborn kid to a degree. I always believed in my heart. But never really there. And I just think that somehow things show us a journey in different ways. And I was a little bit, you know, maybe I was a little bit more stubborn than most. And you have to know that I did go through that journey, but at the same time, I was protected. I went through a lot of situations, but I kept my sanity. I kept my health. I mean, you have to look at it. I had something around me, even though I was experiencing a lot of bad stuff. I had something around me that was keeping things from me.
You wouldn't so mean like protecting me, like Jesus was. Jesus was protecting you.
It was quite a learning process. Yes.
So, how long did it take? Once you were sent to prison, how long did it take for you to have an intimate encounter with Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Well, I have to tell you, I've always believed. So, I walked the cells from day one. You know, single cells. I'm in there by myself. I did maximum security every day. Wow. And I walked the cells up and down just inside my cell, in my 8-foot cell, back and forth, up and down the walkways. I wore out shoes walking up and down the cells talking to God. And, you know, it's just a fact of reality, and it's something that everybody's going to do. And I just happen to believe. And, you know, my main pitch was always the same thing, you know. I know the human people don't believe me and believe anything that's happening here, but I know you, and I know that you know I didn't do this and why are you letting this happen to me? So it took years for me to focus on actually getting myself in a place where he needed me to be.
Now, are you the younger? Who's the younger brother?
David's our younger brother. I'm the middle. Bill is my older Bill's brother. Now,
so how old were you that day on the beach when you were accosted by the police?
I think I was 19.
So here you are, this innocent 19-year-old who happens to be smoking a marijuana joint, and then some guy that's half blind who picked up a hitchhiker and had oral sex with him says to the police that you're the guy. I mean, you must have been totally befuddled and just, you know, incredulous.
I have to tell you, it was a complete shock. I mean, you know... We were just nosing around at a scene that had happened there prior, a few days prior. And next thing you know, we become the primary.
Correct.
And, it's like my brother Joe said. You know, he's always said that he could have been part of it, too. Mm-hmm. In the newspaper, some of the articles were saying that two men do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would they know that two men did it? Was there another eyewitness or something that we didn't know about, or? And then the shirt, of course, the T-shirt disappeared. Find out years later
Rhett, they were talking about the beating. When they say the beating wasn't metered out by just one person, they're saying it was. And in fact, it was metered out by four juveniles.
Correct. Four other guys that used to be my best friends, Rhett, that were my friends.
And they let your brother go to
prison. And they let my brother go to prison for it.
Well, they protected themselves.
Well, they didn't want to go to prison.
No. Murder.
No. We'd have never known it if only one guy hadn't confessed, but...
Really? There's a guy that came forward and... Wait a second. A guy finally did come forward and confessed?
Yeah.
And what provoked...
30 years after they got the DNA results.
Well, what provoked him to do that?
the police at his doorway saying, we got information that you might be involved in a murder.
Now, did he have to go to prison?
Never charged him.
Why?
No.
Why?
They said they didn't have anything more left in the case, and they said that the time had expired to be able to bring that, even though it was 30 years later.
What they had done to me with the evidence and all the material and everything, they could not turn around now and say that these guys did something different.
Correct.
Or something of the same. It just didn't work legally. And remember, they're trying to say that when they confessed to the crime, that it was a manslaughter case, and the statute of limitations had run out on it.
Now, why did they call this guy if it was too late? Why bother harassing this guy, saying, "Hey, ding dong, hey, we think you were involved in a murder"? Why were they doing that?
Because they were reinvestigating it, trying to get me involved in it after I had been released from the DNA.
They were still trying to frame you up again? Oh, my word.
Yep.
So this other guy confessed that he had done it.
Yeah, of the four.
Yep. He was struggling with himself, Rhett. He was already in a lot of legal trouble, and the murder, he said, had just eaten at his heart and his ways for so long of a time.
You know, I wonder, maybe, did he come to know the Lord, I hope?
I never know. It was somebody that we would never have.
Well, obviously, there's an essential goodness there if this was eating away at him. It's the one without a conscience.
He was living on the streets.
He was living on the streets, yeah.
So he was paying the price for what had gone down.
All four of them have paid the price, Red.
That goes with the whole deal of
correct.
Vengeance is mine.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
But here's what we want to say, Red, is my brother, even though he's done these 27 years, there's no animosity in him to where he has any anger in him. Sure, he was done wrong, but the Lord has delivered him to where he's able to teach people and to show people and to lead people just in his own way how he has overcome.
It is amazing. I had someone, my father was killed in a car accident when I was younger, the day before my fifth birthday. And so from the age of 6 to 13, there was a man who drank every night and was very abusive towards me.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center providing housing for the working class homeless. Yes, repeat, for the working class homeless, for single men and single women. We are offering financial literacy and strategies along with spiritual discipleship. For more information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.
Vero Web Consulting specializes in creating custom websites, hosting,